pumpkin.
No.
An apple.
Yes, I have an apple.
A pen.
Oh, okay. I already started it anyway. Okay. From the moment you said I have a pen.
All right, guys. Welcome to another podcast by Car Culture Malawi. This is your host Fateh speaking, and I got a few special guests with me. I got Yusuf, Imran, and Sarana here.
What up?
Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
So yeah, this is also one of those special episodes where definitely I'm not at home, infected by the mosquitoes and the power of Eskom. I got like amazing friends. Yeah, that had to end with an S because they are actually there. And I've actually spent a very good time through the following years that I've known through them to actually get to know them better. And of course, knowing it's Car Culture Malawi, we're definitely speaking about cars and other things, but we got with us a pilot here. I mean, that's something new. You don't see that every day. I mean, we definitely want to hear something from your side of the story.
Yeah.
You got
and we have
a
rally driver,
Sarana, and saving the best for last because I'm a car guy too, the rally guy. That's Yusuf. So, okay, normally I do this thing, guys, where every new person comes, I ask them what's their first car, their current car, and then their future car.
So you skipped me on this one, then?
I'll probably skip you, but it's okay. I mean, you can name shoes. We'll start with those.
Her first car was a slipper from Butter.
No, I think it was Chevrolet.
You can name my first
Chevrolet.
Chevrolet.
Oh, yeah, we can go into that. Books. So yeah, I'm actually going to skip that segment for today, and since Yusuf is not based in Malawi, he's based in Zambia, I'm just going to get to you guys to know him a bit, and what's the car scene like in Zambia, what you're driving at the current moment, what are your plans, and from there we'll pick off. I mean, we'll start talking anything from traffic to music
to airplanes
to books.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. At the moment, I am driving a Toyota Avalon. It's a 3-liter V6.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an executive car, but me being a petrol head, I've straight piped it. It was one of those cars I bought to sort of work on.
Mm-hmm.
Just never got a chance because, it's a bit hectic trying to juggle a project car and work at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so. But other than that, I mean, it's a brilliant car. And as everybody knows, a project car is a pain in the A. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, literally just the day before I arrived, my radiator actually cracked for the second time. And then I've just been fixing the car, mostly getting it up to spec before I start modding it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do keep the car, because I'm trying to get rid of it now, I will turbo it.
That's
something I've been looking at, a twin turbo setup.
What engine does it run on?
It's a 1MZ engine.
One MZ.
Well, it's sort of, it's like if you look at a Toyota Harrier, the same engine, same drivetrain. But the only difference is this is a front wheel drive and not a four wheel drive.
I was about to ask that. The chassis are probably a little bit different.
The funny thing about this car is the history of it is Toyota had a lot of Toyota Camry spares, and the Toyota Camry was no longer being made.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, hey, why don't you make a new car and recycle the parts? So that's how the Toyota Avalon came about. But instead of doing that, they used a lot of parts from the Toyota Crown, like all the lavish spares. Like, so you got electric seats, electric steering controls, and everything about it is electric. It has heated seats.
The holographic speedometer.
While we're on the topic of speedometer, does it have a manual odometer, or it's also holographic digital?
It's holographic but manual, so you still have your manual conventional with dials and everything. So you have your RPM counter
a
normal car. If you look at it, you'd think it's a normal car, but obviously because it's holographic, you can see the difference. So the way it's done is you have different glass plates inside it, and a projector that projects everything from the computer box onto these glass plates. And yeah, it gives you everything, all the warning lights, all of that. And it's quite cool. It's a nice feature to have in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But the only downfall on that is, I mean, if the projector that it's using for the to project everything, the display,
mm-hmm.
if that gets damaged, you have to replace the entire unit. You can't just replace the projector itself. So yeah, but thankfully, Japan has
mm-hmm.
a lot of my spares.
Mm-hmm.
And but the car was designed for the American market, funny enough.
That's
why it's really wide. It's the same length as a, I'd say
boat?
As a boat. Yeah. And the nickname for my car is the boat, because a lot of people call it a boat, because it's this big, huge thing on the road. You can't miss it, and it's green. It's bottle green.
The Titanic hasn't sunk yet.
Yeah, it hasn't sunk yet. So,
that's
but
cool,
it's sinking.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's sinking, but it hasn't sunk yet.
On that topic, all the holographic speedometer and the display, I wanted to ask, because the car is an old model, right?
95,
right?
Yeah.
So considering the car went through all that time, such a thing within the current period right now, do you think the same car, assuming yours is in good condition,
yeah.
but a car that's been an older model of it but has the same kind of technology,
mm-hmm.
would it still be able to keep that lighting on?
It should be able to, because I mean, Toyota is reliable, so
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is a Toyota.
Definitely.
And the Japanese are known for building quality and no compromises. Except when it came to Subarus.
Speaking of dashboards, I want to ask Imran on the airplane dashboards.
Yeah,
it's very simple to understand the car's dashboard. You can know the speedometer, the fuel gauge, the temperature gauge, the oil gauge, and the
check engine light.
And the check engine light, and all the other lights that are available. Now, an airplane has that and much more. So, in your area, do you know, were you supposed to keep track of 100% of them, or 70% of them, or 50% of them when you're doing your... when you're actually flying the plane, that is, from takeoff to landing to while on...
Yeah, I mean, we have different scans as pilots. We load different scans of all the instruments, but it's
mm-hmm.
not like we monitor them all
mm-hmm.
at the same time. We have a different scan for a different thing. So say, for example, taking off,
mm-hmm.
you'll have a certain scan of certain instruments. And for landing, it's a different scan, but similar, like you'll find two or three things similar in the descending scan and things like that. So we don't always monitor all of them at the same time. Like, we're not like spiders with 1,000 eyes, you see.
Yeah.
So that, in that sense, yeah, with like oil pressure and fuel pressure and all that, we have those gauges as well. And we do check them regularly, so it's not an all-time thing where we're constantly monitoring, but we have a time period, say around 15 minutes or so,
mm-hmm.
and we just do a full, complete scan of all the instruments, and then we continue with our simpler scan.
Mm-hmm.
But with the check engine light, we'll know, because the airplane will have no power, and like your engine will just be dead, you'll see it. So. Yeah, so, and also you do get a warning, of course, but the main thing is that you actually see your engine stopping.
Have you ever been in such a situation?
With an engine failure?
Yeah.
No. No, thank God I haven't. But I'm always prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that before you even get your private license,
mm-hmm.
before they even send you for your last check before you get your license,
mm-hmm.
they test you on all these things, and you have to perform 100%. Before they approve you to get your license. So so we're always ready for it, and we always plan for it, especially if it's a long flight. We look for alternative airfields that we can land at, and even if there's no airfields, we look at highways, we look at farms and things around the area. So if we do have like an engine failure, we are prepared.
Okay, that's so cool. What are the common difficulties you actually face a lot when as a pilot in general?
Boredom. It's easy to get bored in your cockpit, trust me.
Even with a co-pilot.
Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was telling you earlier on that there was a study done, and it found that so many pilots admitted that they slept during the flight.
Yes.
So...
90% was it?
Yeah, around 90-something percent of the study was like people falling asleep on their flight, and they woke up to find their co-pilot asleep. But yeah, don't worry, that's like... Well, this is when there's somebody else monitoring, and the pilots need their rest so they can actually land you properly and make sure everything's fine. But and that's probably at cruise, when you're cruising for like 5-6 hours or something. But the difficulties also with flying is just trying to remember stuff, because there's so much to do. It's, you know, in a car when you're driving, it's sort of just second nature, right?
Yes.
And it sort of is the same with an airplane, only you have like 1,000 more things to do. So you're constantly checking, is your route okay? Have you drifted to the left or to the right? Is the wind changed? Is the weather changed? Has this changed? You know, you're always monitoring so many things. So keeping track of all that stuff is also a bit of a challenge. But one thing I like to do is basically just write down a checklist. So you get your normal checklist in the airplanes that you go through and everything, but I just write down my own checklist to remember to like check, for example, fuel levels and things like that. But yeah, that's for the smaller airplanes, of course. And yeah, and for the boredom, I look at other airfields. So back to the engine failure, if you're looking for other airfields close by, then you've got a place to land all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome, man. I have actually never been in a cockpit like while it's flying, but it's something I actually plan to do. So what do you say, Yusuf? Huh?
Now you have a pilot friend, bro.
Exactly. I mean, we should go bug him.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I'm in SA, definitely come over. I'll take you for a flight. You'll sit in front of me.
Oh, okay. Definitely. No,
just don't touch anything, because, yeah, you might...
But the buttons are so flashy and whatnot.
that button,
ooh, what does this do?
You off your seat.
Oops.
Yeah, for sure. If you're in SA, come over. I'll take you for a flight.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Thank you so much, man.
Cool.
And now we're done with the difficult part, where... Definitely, there's only one person who's very good at it currently. We go to the utmost beginners of beginners. Sarana, hi.
Hello.
Sarana, so knowing that you don't have a car right now, but you've done some practice and...
like 3 lessons worth of driving, yeah.
What about illegally?
Of course, you always drive illegally when you're like... in Chalo, you know, visiting
exactly.
The grandparents, no cops out there.
Well, in Chalo is one of those places with a beautiful road.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I love that road.
Funny thing, you mentioned that road. I actually have, I look at it as the worst road to drive on,
mm-hmm.
because we were together in my Subaru, and we're coming back from visiting my granddad.
Oh, wow, yeah, that was...
And we're standard procedure, I mean, the road is long, open, and this road takes us 30 minutes to
just
drive.
Just reduce the value of the speed a bit, so we don't
incriminate
ourselves.
Allegedly, we've always been doing our street races in Mozambique.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I agree.
So, allegedly, that speed you're going at, and...
Allegedly, we were sitting at... I do not admit to the speed, but...
Mm-hmm.
From what I remember, it was about 170 to about 180 around there.
Okay.
Exiting through a bend. And
this is all theory, right?
Yeah, it's all
theory.
Yeah. Yeah. In theory. And this lady lets go of a child's hand, and this kid runs across the road in front of the car.
No.
And he happened to be driving. And I saw this happening as we came around the corner. And I'm like, yo, dude. And he saw it. And... like, you know what, in my terms, I think he's a good driver, but like he's a scary driver, if you know what
he's
I mean.
He's like the scariest person.
I scare everybody.
So,
the people in the car and outside the car.
that's his driving style. So in my head, I'm like, shit, we've just killed a kid. And yeah, but like luckily, you know, quick hands, man. Quick hands.
Yeah.
So that road
so
for
cool,
me, as amazing as it is,
mm-hmm.
it's also dangerous.
It's also a dangerous road to actually go and drive on. Well, most public roads, I'd say, in Malawi
are dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous that you have...
And that's why we do it in Mozambique. Even
yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mozambique, for our racetrack. We appreciate your support for racing.
But like one of the best roads is the one that we were on today, the Cholo Road.
Oh, that's my favorite road. Like,
it's the neatest and cleanest road to drive.
You know, that road, considering it's a Sunday... evening, Sunday afternoon on a weekend. Of course, it's a Sunday. It has to be a weekend.
Could be a weekday.
Quite smart. Could be Sunday on a Monday.
So I like taking my car with the straight pipe and just changing through the automatic gears from D to 2 as I take curves and things like that, and hearing the backfire. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the best.
That's a very beautiful road to drive on. Like, it's so... It's just got this vibe to it.
It does. I've actually had the privilege of driving
meditating
on that road.
Yes, meditating.
Yeah,
very
actually,
meditative.
I agree with that.
Very meditative.
I took the Subaru on that road, actually, a while ago. About 2 years ago, actually. And we went through this section, and these guys... It takes them about an hour and a half to drive that section. And it took me about, I think, 25 or 30 minutes to get to where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
And I had everybody in the car holding onto their seats because they were so scared.
Wow.
And here I am chilled with like one hand on the steering wheel.
Is this
like,
going to that bonfire?
Yes, do you remember? You're,
gosh.
Like, and I'm apexing and overtaking. Like, I remember passing a lot of my relatives as well because we're going to the bonfire.
Uh-huh.
And I shoot past a whole line of cars, and these are all my uncles and aunties. And everybody knows my car because I had the only really
blue, loud
Subaru, like it's, with gold rims, which you could see from miles away.
You
like,
could actually
hear before you see it. Yeah.
That's
everyone
the
heard
same
me.
Story with his Avalon, eh?
Yeah.
It sounds like a GTR coming past, and you're excited. Boat drives past, like, what the hell?
At least it's a 3 liters, so it has some speed. My 1.5, it's loud, and the moment people hear it, but you know,
they're waiting,
like,
for this
they're
car
waiting
to go
for
past.
It, they're waiting for it. You know, they can actually see the driver like, okay,
so that's what a douche looks like. Just kidding.
That's why I tint the windows.
You know, the nice thing about the nice thing I like about my car now is that it's, I don't have to fight for power.
Mm-hmm.
I put my foot down.
Yeah.
And it's gone. I raced a CLS, the I think it was a 2017 model.
Oh, okay.
Just a few weeks ago, and this guy, I remember I spoke to you about it or something like that, and like this guy was behind me, and you know, he kept pushing, nudging forward. I've got a straight pipe, so my car is really loud. At idling, this car is loud. Like, if I think if we had to park the car in ShopRite parking lot and just switch it on, I would set off every single alarm in the whole entire shopping center.
Whoa.
Just the car idling, and it's quite loud. So
it's embarrassing to sit in that car. Trust me.
No, it's
everybody
not.
Stares
it's
at
not,
you.
It's not.
Everyone looks
it's
at
not,
you.
Yeah. I get the feel.
So everybody in Zambia like has a lot of nice cars. Like the people, the car culture that side is amazing because a lot of people are into rally, you know, or they're into drag racing, or they're into drifting. And
a lot of these guys end up buying all these fancy cars.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are modded, and some of them are not. So, like, you have some of these cars that are really modified. And trust me, there is a 1,000 horsepower GTR in Zambia. When I say people have money in Zambia to do up cars and splash on cars, it's 1,000
horsepower, and
a
I
thousand
horse- and I thought,
and it's R35 GTR,
and I actually thought that having 500 horsepower in my Southern Africa in general is more than enough to actually enjoy the roads that we actually currently have. Malawi, you would just say 300 maximum horsepower.
Yeah, for the roads in Malawi, I'd say like 300 is more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
So like my standard car is enough.
Definitely.
Don't tease your lovely Corolla.
No, don't worry. Every minibus driver teases it too. That's how bad it is.
That's sad. So don't worry. One day when I make $1 million, I'll buy you a nice car.
Oh, thank you.
Your first project car.
Note. It's recorded, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
So
shit.
Everybody is
moving. We're going to take this to court.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Recorded.
Hey, it doesn't have to be working.
I'm a witness.
Okay? It's a project car. Okay.
He might give you a car without an engine, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, he'll just
true.
Give you the
as
body
that...
and you fill it up yourself.
Exactly.
He might even give me a steering wheel, you never know.
Actually, speaking of which, do you want the steering wheel?
Actually, we'll think about it. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, so I actually have a friend who's got a N10 Subaru STI.
Yeah.
Original STI, not a WRX, because you know you get the difference between, if you know your Subarus, you know like a WRX and the STI, completely different cars, but same
like
thing.
STI
is like the STI is the bigger brother.
No, actually, sorry, the WRX is
the
slow
brother
of the STI.
The STI,
yes.
So he's got an STI, and he took it down to SA, built rebuilt the whole motor and all of that, and he's got about 610, 630 around there.
Oh, wow.
On the wheels, not flywheel, no nothing, that's on the wheels. When he dynoed it, that's what came off from the dyno.
Wow.
That's
maximum horsepower or torque?
Max horsepower. Torque was somewhere between 800 and something.
Oh.
I don't remember what it was. But
you should not gun here the moment. You can't put your foot down on
you
that.
You can.
And trust the car.
Well, you can actually, because the way he set it up,
mm-hmm.
he's a rally driver as
mm-hmm.
well. He's one of the guys that are really... he's in Group A.
Mm-hmm.
And Group A are like the elite in the country.
Yeah.
The top drivers.
Yes, yes.
So he's got his fair share of powerful cars.
And knowledge.
And knowledge
like
of how to handle
yeah.
it. So he actually raced the GTR and destroyed it. It's on YouTube. You can actually see the video.
I'll
he
send me a link.
Destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again, drag racing in Mozambique.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Racing in Mozambique. Or anywhere
yeah.
outside Malawi is allowed.
Yeah.
As long as it's not Malawi.
Yeah. Yeah. So... yeah, he destroyed the GTR
mm-hmm.
at about two car lengths.
Is that two buses?
No, like two car lengths. That's
oh,
like
okay,
about
two car lengths.
Is it
yeah.
a Vitz or is it like an Avalon?
It's like a Corolla length.
Oh.
Okay, like two Corollas.
That's
and that's
the,
mind you, it's 1,000 horsepower GTR.
And remember, if you're driving a GTR and Subaru beats you like that, it
yeah.
means sell your car.
Yeah,
that's
no,
the clear
means,
intention. Sell your car.
No, what that means is. You don't know how to drive, first of all.
Okay, that,
secondly,
definitely.
Sell your car.
Yeah, definitely.
Thirdly,
yeah.
go buy a Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nivo.
Yeah, debatable. That's we fight about that. So
hold on, I'll convince you. Don't worry, we'll see. I'll show you somebody.
Yeah, question
no.
on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Subarus, but I love Evos more too. There's something about their four-cylinder engine and the torque, the power output that they give off. The power, what do you call this, continuity or what?
Well,
do you mention?
What I'll say with the Evo
mm-hmm.
and the Subaru, because I've had the privilege of jumping into both cars.
Oh wow, that's
mm-hmm. one of
yeah,
the
I'd
guys.
Actually want to get a fair.
Yeah. And I mean I've been passenger in a Evo 10 rally car,
mm-hmm.
Evo 9 rally car, and Evo 6 rally car, and Evo 4. And all these were the rally cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sat in a GC8, which is the first gen STI, you should say, like on if you look at it, which is not really the first gen, but it's a car Colin McRae used, so
is
it's
the,
like
is it the
on a pedestal.
22B?
Yes, it's a two-door 22B.
That, oh,
legend.
That's beautiful.
Nice.
That's like
so it's actually up for sale right now at the moment if anybody wants it.
Oh, cool.
It's full kitted. It's got two gearboxes, two... Basically, it's got you got a full car
mm-hmm.
and an extra car you can build on the side.
That's so cool.
Of spares, and it's a rally car.
For?
That's the thing; it's quite pricey. Because
definitely,
I mean,
you're
then again,
two cars at the price of
yeah. If you're looking at the cost of everything to buy a rally car, it's
mm-hmm.
about $10,000 for
yeah.
this car, and that $10,000, I mean, you're getting two sets of rims,
mm-hmm.
like complete sets. You're getting a whole entire new drivetrain system. That's four drive shafts,
mm-hmm.
Gearbox, diff. A new engine.
Wow, what's a new engine?
Yeah, it's got basically you're getting everything as spares, and you know all the small things like control arms, shocks, and that's another thing. The difference between a rally car and a standard car
mm-hmm.
is the shocks.
Yeah.
yeah so yeah,
yeah.
but anyways, as we were saying, the Evos. Why I would say Evos are nice
mm-hmm.
is because I like the way the power to the power. The drive, the way the drivetrain handles the power,
exactly,
is a lot better than an STI would handle the power.
It's got a certain aggressive thing about it. It's
not really
like,
aggressive. I find
like
a Subaru
screaming.
No, a Subaru is more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I find a Subaru to be more aggressive in a sense that you come around a hairpin and
mm-hmm.
you know chuck the handbrake and back onto the power type
mm-hmm.
of thing, and the STI or the Subaru, should put it that way, will,
mm-hmm.
is more aggressive and. But it's more forgiving in a way,
okay.
right? But even though you have that brute force
yeah,
of
yeah.
the Subaru, which I kind of like that because I'm more of a mechanical driven person, and with this new technology of everything going electric and digital
steering,
and you know, like
ABS braking,
you know, you got all these
extra
things,
safety gadgets and
airbags
things, yeah.
I mean, who needs airbags?
I don't need. I mean, we barely
extra
use
extra weight, right?
A lot of extra weight, if you ask me.
True.
Do you guys use airbags in your airplanes?
Nah, bro, we die like men.
Exactly. Who needs a seatbelt either? So,
and the Evo, I think it just flows better.
And Evo,
exactly.
It'll sort of go around the hairpin a lot smoother than a Subaru would.
That's
where you find people would not. Well, this is my judgment. Not everybody out there, but that's what I've noticed about the Evo. It's a lot smoother to come into a hairpin and then back onto the power, and you know, you don't have this sudden, like, bam, all this power, and the car wants to dart off into one direction or the other. Evo sort of controls the power well.
Hugs the road.
But why I don't like Evos is because in the middle of all that, there's a little shaft inside the gearbox, in the transfer case, that sends power between the front and the back. And this shaft is known for breaking. You can ask any Evo driver who has tried to launch the car really hard, and nothing happens. You just pop, 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 paf. Nothing.
It stays there.
And your car is just revving all the way to 6,000 or whatever your RPM limit is.
Okay, so that's a common problem with Evos.
They are
pricey to maintain.
Yeah.
And they're actually pricey cars compared to STIs.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about it, and I've been wondering, is it probably that because if you look at the Subaru lineup of cars, they have, like, Evos, they keep their level of
the price point,
not their price point, but more for what they deliver as a car. They have Evo, but they don't have anything below the Evo that performs as well as the Evo.
That's true.
Subaru has like substitutes. If you can't buy the STI,
that's
actually
very true. You can go for
people.
The WRX if you can't afford the WRX.
So they have a wide variety of cars. So they can't always make the STI so expensive. Otherwise, most of the people will end up buying the cheaper.
The cheaper version.
Versions and just doing them up.
But the thing is also, you have to look at it in as, like you said, affordability of the car also is where you have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, like the Subaru, you have a 1.5, which is a front-wheel drive option, or a four-wheel drive option.
Right,
now, you don't really want a 1.5-liter engine with a four-wheel drive system, because what power are you going to... Think, if you look at it in the more technical form of driving, I should say, you have all that loss of power through the drivetrain and all of that. So, you know, you'll go through a lot of issues of power loss. For example, sorry for calling out, bro, but Longe, his car, his four-wheel drive, you can ask him about it. I'm sure he puts his foot down and is like waiting, and then the corner comes, and then, oh shit, you have to brake. And then that's when the power comes in. Type of thing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Like,
so,
that's to drive with a four-wheel drive system.
Exactly.
Front wheel,
you have
drive,
more moving parts, and then so you'd rather go with either the 2-liter engine, even if it's an NA, the 2-liter four-wheel drive non-turbo. It's a brilliant car if you know how to have fun in it and get rid of the automatic gearbox. Get a manual, because the automatic gearbox is very boring.
Definitely.
And especially in a car like that, you want to be on the clutch and popping the clutch for those funny, you want to, for example, you want to do a donut, you know, four-wheel drive donut. You can, it's going to be a lot harder, but I mean, you know, in an auto box, you're just going to slide the car around. It's just going to be a lot of understeer, I should say.
Yes, yeah.
Or over, no, you won't have
oversteer.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have a lot of understeer, actually, So that's, for me, I'd say.
I always wondered how people did burnouts in like four-wheel drive cars, but
just smash it, bro.
Just smash it, huh?
Turn left and flat out.
Okay,
that's
so
all.
Here's one thing I want to ask, maybe before we finish up, wrap up soon.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite car that, or the best car you've driven that you'd consider best for a long drive or a road trip? I mean, you've driven the Subaru, I know.
Mm.
You've driven the Avalon on long drives.
Yeah.
Which one would you... Or which ones of those, or if you have any other cars in the past that we may have not known of or not yet mentioned, would be the best?
Well, okay,
I've
had a long list of cars in my life, but I think out of all the cars I've driven, mine or not mine, long distance, the absolute best, best car I've driven, I'd say would have to be, yeah, an M5. A BMW M5. I am a German fan.
Which year?
I think it's the is it the E30 or E30? So I don't know which one it is. It's like older model.
Wow. Beautiful ones.
It's quite a big car.
Very big.
And this car gave me the shock of my life.
It's a Grand Tourer.
Exactly, it's a Grand Tourer. It's a good touring car.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the power you need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got all the luxury you need.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the space you need. Like
mm-hmm.
that boot, you can kill like 12 people
mm-hmm.
and chuck them in a boot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go dump their body at the ocean
mm-hmm.
while on vacation.
Theoretically speaking.
Again, allegedly, if you're doing any of these things, this
yeah.
all happens in Mozambique. I believe Mozambique at some point will come asking for me.
Sorry, can we have that guy?
Can we have the list of guys who've been racing illegally and the guys who've been dumping in the river the dead bodies? You just want to get
yeah.
I have one quick question for you
yeah.
guys though. What do you think about this, the Mitsubishi cancelling the Evo line?
Devastated.
Thank you.
Well, okay.
From
yeah,
a non-car
like
person, that's very
yeah,
refreshing and very nice to hear.
Yes.
It's actually true. Very
yeah.
devastating, because it's like the STI hasn't got its old competitor or rival to go with.
Exactly.
And the Evo fans looking for Evos right now is getting harder. You have to either, if you want to get the latest of the line, you have to get the Evo 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good, but
then again, it's quite an old car.
Yes.
But let me set this
mm-hmm.
argument straight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Subaru fan. I love Subarus. But Evos, I'd say the Evo 10
mm-hmm.
was a car that was way ahead of its time. In terms of technology
mm-hmm.
And reliability and just overall styling, that car is something that in the next 10 years
mm-hmm.
Sought after car.
Yeah.
It's one of those cars where, well, not really sought after, I'd say it would be a car that you could still go and buy out there, even second hand, and still have a good time with it.
Yes, that's
right?
Very true.
The build quality on an Evo is a lot better than the build quality on a Subaru. My Subaru, when I got it, it was secondhand, but it came in quite in good condition. No rattles, nothing. But over the 4 years that I've had it, everything started to, the interior just starts rattling. You're driving on the highway, you hit a bump and you hear something in the boot that sounds like your wheel fell off. Go look, and it's, you know, the entire cover is rattling, and just everything in the car has become so plastic and rattled so much. I mean, the sound deadening in the Subaru is not that great,
mm-hmm.
And also they don't put a lot of it onto the car, so you know you come off a tar onto a gravel road,
yeah,
and all those gravel stones and everything
yes,
hit
yes.
the bottom of the car, and you can hear every single stone hitting the car. And it's really loud, like it's unbearable. Especially rally, and we use a Subaru in rally car, and which you do go for lightweight, but it gets so annoying. You have this sound, like imagine raindrops
mm-hmm.
hitting your window, but amplified really loud.
And that's where the name shitbox comes from. So.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yes. That's why, yeah.
My Corolla is an utter shitbox right now. It
yeah.
has that sound, like, you could hear every, like, the car is loud, but you could hear every other part of the car, like, falling over. You look at it, you're like, where is that coming from? And you're like,
yeah,
you're rattling around here.
True
and there.
That. But yeah,
on this topic of the Evo line
mm-hmm.
ending, they moved on to this thing called the EVE. So it's like the E version, like an eco version of the Evo. What do you think of like this movement of all these car companies going to like electric vehicles nowadays?
I disapprove.
Yeah, including
yeah.
like the Porsche, for example, like the 918, that's the hybrid.
Mm.
I mean,
but, okay, they released the new Porsche 911. Have you the two Porsches? They released two of them. One was the Roadster, another I forgot the name. Both 911s.
Yeah.
Non-aspirated six-cylinder engines, manual even. Can you imagine? It just.
But
came
that's
out
what
crazy.
They used to do back in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they had in the Carrera and.
That's the dream.
That, which is good, because.
That's why I love Porsche. As a car manufacturer, they're the best in the line for making a car a driver's car.
Don't
That's
worry,
the whole
they won't
point.
Send you a car.
No, I'm just letting it out there. In every episode, I'll just mention Porsche, and maybe who knows.
They don't like influences.
We are the Germans.
Nine.
Yeah, niner.
Niner.
Yeah, shame.
Okay, so Sarana, here's a question for you. Okay, so we're talking about you still not being able to drive legally on the road.
Yeah.
But what's the most difficult part as a learner that you always figure out or you try to figure out driving here? I'm assuming you've driven both manual and automatic? Or
yeah,
just automatic?
Both.
Okay, both.
I think what you find is difficult is douchebags like me driving past.
What I find difficult is...
That's definitely, but I mean, on top of that.
I guess as a learner, I'd say controlling in traffic, like being able to balance a car properly in traffic when you don't have much experience,
mm-hmm.
that's like a big problem. And just like trying not to bump people when you're angry, you know, that's like something I struggle with.
Road rage.
Yeah. Road rage, and I don't even drive it, you know. It's like I have road rage from the passenger seat. Now imagine if I'm actually driving.
I feel sorry for the guys who
theoretically
are going...
I'll also be dumping bodies.
Theoretically. You should buy a 7 Series.
There's enough space in there. Actually, there's one right here, right?
Yeah.
It's for sale, by the way.
Yeah.
Noted.
Noted. Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, I think this was good.
It was.
It was a very nice session. I really can't wait to have you guys again. Yeah, sadly, that you are the type of guys that come once in a blue moon. It's almost like Ramadan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. Definitely a blessing.
Yeah.
But it's rare. So I'm actually thankful for that you guys are here. And this is actually episode number 7.
Oh, great.
So
Lucky number 7.
Hey!
Yeah, it's my lucky number.
It's an inside
7.
Joke.
And it's an inside joke.
Not disclosing it.
It's already disclosed right here, so
no one knows about it.
Yeah.
So it's between.
We just know the number 7, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, but I
mm-hmm.
actually, I think next time I come,
mm-hmm.
I will drive down, so at least we can actually do a proper vlog of my car as
Oh, definitely. I'm looking forward
in
to that.
In the car as well, so you
in
can
the car,
hear
so
it.
You can actually hear how loud it is.
Definitely. I don't know if you viewers will listen to us speaking, but you'll definitely listen to the beautiful music of the Razer's most.
Yeah, and it's quite straight piped.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm.
Very loud.
So definitely looking forward to that. And thank you so much again for having you. Thank you so much for you guys having me, because I'm not at home.
Okay.
No, but thank you for
You're
having
welcome.
Us on your show.
No,
and,
it's a pleasure. It's more than I could ask. And I'm looking forward to you guys again. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. And we've made it past through 7 episodes. So those of you who've made it this far, I thank you so much for listening. And keep passing on the message. And remember, always drive safe, stay out of trouble. If you're doing any illegal street racing,
do
it
in Mozambique.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what I wanted to say. And you guys take care. And you know what to, if you have any questions, ask on Car Culture Malawi on Instagram. And if you want to know anything else, feel free to drop a line. And if you want their contacts on Instagram, feel free to drop, I'll drop the handle on the description of the podcast. So thank you so much for listening, and you guys have a wonderful night.